All right, let's open up our Bibles back to John chapter 12. And tonight we're going to close out this chapter. And what we come to here tonight is the close of Jesus' public ministry. And now, from now until the cross, he will only be in intimate fellowship with his disciples and with the ones he loves. And I believe that that really gives us such encouragement, really, in the time that we're in right now. It's a dark time. It's a time of wrapping up. Something big is going to happen, is about to happen. And those that are willing to suffer with him, and just think, we have a better thing at this time. We have that promise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. We have that evident in Paul's gospel that was given to us. These disciples, they would be known as the ones that would suffer for him, obviously. Those ones that loved him so sweetly, they did suffer with him. And what wonderful fellowship they had with him up to that event. And I pray that we get that encouragement right now. The hatred of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ is abounding at this time. It's growing even more prevalent in this world. The love of many is waxing cold, faith is waning, but he is having the most intimate of fellowship with the ones he loves at the close of this age. And I love it, and I thank God for it, and I thank him that we're here tonight for this encouragement. So let's pick it up in verse 27. And Jesus says here, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour." This is so sweet because we could see that, all of these different things that are going on in the heart of our precious Savior. And so sweetly as he brings this out, and this is for our sakes. We know that he was so fully purposed, there was no doubt what God had intended for his son to do, and being completely obedient to the cross, it was the joy that was set before him. But I truly get this as it's stating this even for us and the sufferings that we go through in this life, as the Word of God encourages us, is that the temporal sufferings, they're just for a moment, aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen? This is an encouragement to us that, praise God, that, you know, his hour has come. He's troubled about these things, and we'll talk about that trouble in just a second. But for this cause, I came to this hour. Praise be to God. For this cause, we have come to this hour, brothers and sisters. And I thank the Lord for the encouragement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to endure hardness as good soldiers. Praise be to God. We have been called, man, the hair on my body is just flying up. We have been called to walk all the way through the promised land at this time. And we've got the better thing. Amen. And this is so rich how I can hear Jesus encouraging my heart at this moment. Son, walk on. This is what you have been called to. You have been called to this moment. Before I set a star in heaven, I foresaw this for you in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. We are prepared afore unto glory. Vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. Thank you, Jesus, that we walk in this. How wonderful this is. See how it just ministers to us. But this trouble here, this word means horror, rejection, torture, that Jesus was about to face. But he wasn't referring to physical sufferings or physical fear. He wasn't even referring, as the Word of God says, that his heel would be bruised upon Satan's head. I love that. But what he was really speaking of here is the curse, being made sin for us. You have to again remember, he was going to a place and to a moment where he would be separated completely from the Father. Amen. And that is something that, again, only Jesus will ever know. That agony, that separation, being made sin, no one, no other part of the Godhead will ever know except for him. And I think, oh, what love. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the one, the God-man. He was very man, very God, the God-man. But the thing about Jesus is, as a man, he gave up all his privileges as God. And he did. He gave them all up. And I just stand there and say, being made sin for you, huh? I hope you smile all the way home and praise him. Hallelujah. All right. And that's only the beginning of this tonight. Praise the Lord. 28 through 30. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Oh, what grace continues to be poured forth. So what we have here is, after Jesus has submitted fully to death and the death that he would face, now the glory that will be. And again, this encourages our hearts, brothers and sisters. Think of what it tells us in Philippians 3, being made conformable unto his death. You see all of this encouragement. And again, it's because of Christ. He's already done this. He lived this for us. And now Christ liveth in you. Allowing that life, praise the Lord, in its type for us, to cause us to be conformable unto his death. Praise God. Now the Father here is so thrilled. He's completely ravished. And he has to speak out. And he said, I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Hallelujah. And how did the Father glorify our precious Lord? He glorified him in raising Lazarus. He was glorified by the Father when he was raised. Let's go on over to Romans 6:4. Speaking of that, you see, he was glorified when Lazarus was raised. He's going to be glorified, obviously, when the Father raises Jesus from the dead. And in Romans 6:4, it says it like this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by what? The glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's that same glory. I'm glorifying you, son. And then I got to think, all the glory that's going to be bestowed forever. And then again, glorified together with his wife. Think about all that glory. Amen. And think of this again, all the glory is from him. He is glory. But thank you, God, for his great grace that brings the glory into our lives. Hallelujah. But there, it's made so clear at this point where, again, the Father says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. See, he professed this. The Father's voice thundered and said these things. And how about when the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is well known. This isn't hidden. This isn't a mystery. But yet, sinful man cannot hear or understand. What do they say here? They said, well, wait a second, I heard thunder. Another one said, well, I heard an angel speak to him. But see, it was just like when Paul, when he was on that road to Damascus at his conversion, he saw the light, praise God, and he heard the voice. Matter of fact, the light blinded him. It said that the others around him, they saw the light, but they did not even hear the voice. It's true. Go on over to John 8. Remember what it says here. Go on over to John 8. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus speaking to them. Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now why can't somebody hear the word of God? Because they have no faith. You do not hear the word of God if you don't have faith. Think about even as a Christian. When we're lacking in faith, it's because we're not hearing the word of God. Amen? It's the truth, because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We wane in faith when we do not hear the word of God. Amen? We can get excited, we can sing lots of songs, we can lift our hands and all those things, but if we're not hearing the word of God, our faith is going to wane. When we do not believe the word of God, it's a tough time. Amen. But here, specifically, these are unbelievers. They can't even hear the voice. All they're hearing is thunder. They're just hearing noise. And it's all because they have no faith. But again, the grace of God over and over, whether it was at the baptism, the mount, or here again, God is showing once again, man is without excuse. I sent my son for the sin of the world. Amen. He took it all. 31 through 33, it'll get a little bit deeper here in a minute. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now this is very exciting. This magnifies what's about to occur, the finished work on the cross. And I love that, the finished work on the cross. Listen to what was just said here. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, this is Jesus saying this right now. Now, wait a second. People would say, well, that didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. When he said it was finished, it's finished. Game over. It's done. Praise the Lord. And that's why we love the word of God. It may not appear, but it is already done. When are we going to call those things which be not as though they were? Amen. But this is even a more encouragement than even that. This is his finished work on the cross. It's done. Satan, you're finished. Praise the Lord. This is what it is. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is done. It is finished. And praise the Lord, may we believe. Because of Jesus' death, the world was judged. That's what's coming right now at what we're reading. Up at that time when he is going to be crucified, the world will be judged. Its fate is sealed. Its prince, Satan, received his sentence of eternal death. Even though it wasn't carried out at that moment, it's going to be carried out just a little bit of time from then and even closer now. Because through the cross, praise God, that was all finished. And through the cross, praise God, the Lord will draw whosoever will to believe on him. It's all there. Amen, it's all there. Let's go on over to Hebrews 2:14. And we'll read this a little bit more clearly over here. In Hebrews 2:14. It says, therefore, as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That through his death. Well, I have news for you. He died and rose again. It's finished. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Through his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. Now go on over to Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15, it says it like this. Well, let's go back to 14 there. You got to read 14 because that just gets you excited more for 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Isn't that beautiful? See, all those ordinances, all that law, taken out of the way. It was contrary to you. Did you know that? It wasn't going to fit. Your grace. Hallelujah. And where there is no law, praise the Lord, there is no sin. Amen. One of my favorite verses, praise the Lord. Nailing it to his cross. And then, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That was quite a grand show, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Our precious Savior on that wonderful cross, being made sin for us, Oh my, oh my, what a wonderful time. See, this wasn't a sad time at all. This was the joy, the glory of God time. This was the joy that was set before him. This was the hour that he was sent to for everything. This was it. This is why he came. And this was the beauty of it all. Oh, what a praise and a glory to the Father, a thrill to him that it would be finished. And I'm going to bring many sons to glory, my Father. Hallelujah. So, we now are only in waiting. Go on over to Revelation. And here's what we're anticipating here that's coming soon. In Revelation 20, let's go over there. And let's read verses, let's read 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Now this is at the end of the tribulation, the 7 years. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So see, he's going to bound him through that millennial time. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And it's just a little season because it's in the same chapter. We come on over here to the 10th verse. Matter of fact, he only gets 9 verses. And then it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So let's recap this. Jesus Christ in his death on the cross, Satan was cast out. He was cast out at that time. Now, we know that that means his fate was sealed. We go on and we know that in the, somewhere in the middle of the tribulation thereabouts, Satan, that one that is accusing us day and night before God, is going to be cast out of heaven. Okay? And then, praise be to God, we know that, as we just read, he's going to then, at the end of the tribulation, be cast into the bottomless pit. And then we know, just 10 verses later, at the end of the millennium, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. So I'll tell you what, I love to see the devil thrown around like that. How about you? Amen? And see, just by believing the word of God, that's how he's thrown around. And this is the power of his resurrection. And that's why we need to know him in that. Praise God. And being made conformable unto his precious death. How wonderful all this is and fits together so perfectly of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's going back to John 12, reading 34 through 36. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light." These things spake Jesus, and departed and did hide himself from them. This is the conclusion of his public ministry. It's over. That time is gone. And how that is so profound and how it speaks to us in so many different ways. And that's why, by the grace of God, I want the Lord in me to encourage my heart. Make every moment count. Amen. I mean, obviously, this speaking of sinners here, you turn from that. But yet, even in our own lives, God help us not to squander time. You'll never get it back. And I thank the Lord for this passion and this love that he's placing in our hearts to want this. But you see here, these ones are still completely blind. Can you imagine all of the testimony that we've been reading in these 12 chapters from the time that John announces, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world"? And they're still asking the question, who is the Son of Man? It's unbelievable, isn't it? But our sweet Jesus tells them so sweetly once again, I am the light. Simply believe. Just believe. Amen. Just believe. 37 through 41. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. And again, that's speaking of Isaiah there. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You'll find that in Isaiah 53. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now, think of this, as he said. All the miracles. Think of what we've already just read through in these 12 chapters. He has healed sick. He has cast out demons. He has turned water into wine. He's walked on water. He's commanded winds to cease. He's told men exactly what they were thinking. And he raised the dead. Come on! Huh? And what else are you going to do? Just like the children in the wilderness, huh? And it's amazing because pretty much all of Israel, except for a handful, still reject him. And this, again, remind yourselves this, brothers and sisters, in our ministry, as the Lord gives us time and encouragement and opportunity to testify of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to our loved ones, to our friends, and things of that nature. Jesus Christ himself preached these things, and yet they still didn't believe. Not only did he preach these things, he did those things and preached these things. Told them, and they still did not believe. So, don't be dumbfounded when the Lord allows you to speak to somebody and they still do not believe. It's the truth. It's what it is. And the reason it is we're going to read it in just a moment here, but don't be discouraged. I've seen people come and go out of this place. You see him even come in, even here recently. Sitting here, we're all excited. People are here and seem to be happy and thanking God and all that. You start praising the Lord in prayer, and sometimes they're gone. What do you think it's going to be like in heaven? Why, have you read about David? Have you read the Psalms? About lift your voice up to him. Praise him with a loud voice. Praise him with a soft voice too. But I believe we should be excited about the one thing. Amen. All right. So you pray for people, but you see it. But see, this prophet, it's so sweet here. Isaiah, he spoke of these things. I mentioned in the 53rd chapter, also in the 6th chapter. But even though there's all this witness, all of this proof, most will never believe. And it wasn't that God willed them to not believe. I want to make sure we understand this. This was because our all-knowing, wondrous God, he knows the defiant heart. He does. Whom he foreknew. Amen. And only by receiving the grace of God will that change the standing. And if that grace is not received, it will be darkness. And he shows us so wonderful in what we just read. Go back and look at verse 37. It says there that all those miracles were done before them, but what did they do? They believed not. Amen? That was a personal choice. They believed not. All right? Then in verse 39, because they believed not, what does it say? Therefore, they could not believe. Amen. If you believe not, you're not going to believe. Huh? That's called sufficient witness. If you don't believe, therefore you're not going to believe. And then what's going to happen when you don't believe, therefore you believe not? Okay, well then you're just the guy that's going to have, verse 40, blinded eyes, harden their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand in their heart, or be converted. And that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to stay, if that's your choice. But you see that, and that's what's so important here. It's because they chose not to believe. We know the Word of God, and the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 2:4, I would that all men be saved. All men. He died for the sin of all men. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son. And it was that whosoever would believe in Him. Whosoever. That was to everybody. But we see here that the ones that they believe not, they're not going to believe. And if you don't believe, you're not going to have eyes to see. You're not going to have ears to hear. And if that's the way you're going to be, you're going to have a hardened heart. Amen. We saw it with Pharaoh. We saw it with all those that you want to be wicked. God will point you to a certain moment that He'll use you in if that's the way you're going to be. But this is it. And you see that when we refuse the Son, all that's there to reap is darkness. And you'll grow more and more dark in it. And how evident it is in our world right now. Think about our world. Think about how dark the world is growing so fast. And it's because it's the rejection of anything of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the rejection of the Word of God. Again, accommodating anything and everything else, but anything about Christianity is being cut off, blocked out, trying to be blotted out. But again, they don't realize they're doing exactly what the truth said that they would do. You can't do anything against it. You can only do what it says because it's the Word. So there you go. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him. Isn't that a sweet thing? But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It's so wonderful, but yet so sad. Lovers of their natural bellies more than lovers of the Word of God. Lovers of the treasure of Jesus. And that's growing more and more, even in Christian circles. Because the testimony is there. And I'm not going to mention names, but you'll probably remember even some of these statements. That this one young man took over his dad's church. And that church was a very encouraged, Spirit-filled church. And it was wonderful. And they went back to interview him, and he had grown this church to an amazing mass. I mean, it's just a giant church. And the interviewer asked, well, why don't you follow your dad's ways and all that? And matter of fact, the elders that were in his daddy's church, they all left. They got out of there. And the reason was, is this guy wasn't preaching the Word of God. And he even said it. He said, well, we can reach more people if we back off. Yeah, Tony Robbins preaches. I mean, it's all of those types of things of man's wisdom and all of that. But if you do it outside of it and just positive thinking, I go with that. But when you call yourself a Christian or a minister and you use that kind of stuff under the cloak of Christianity, God forbid. And that's what's fooling God's precious people. And it's very sad because they're flattering words. And as the Word of God says, flattering words, they basically lay hold and carry away silly women. And that is the definition of someone who wants to be flattered as opposed to hear the truth. They want to be shined as opposed to be fed. And it's a very sad thing, but it's going on and on more all the time. In Paul's day, there was a man named Demas. And he was with Paul, and he preached the word mightily. And it broke Paul's heart, because Demas broke from him because he was carried away with the applause of men. He wanted that grand crowd. And so he went over to a place where he could compromise, water down, to eventually, as we heard many times, Ichabod, God has departed, is finally written right over your church. Think of the denominations that we have anymore in that started out so wonderfully. Names of such incredible ones that started in a lot of ways the foundations of many a Christian churches and things of that nature in the 16th, 17th, 1800s. And today, you'd go into those same denominations and you would be shocked if you ever heard even a message on how to be saved. They have hymn books now where they took out everything about the blood. Without the shedding of blood, let me tell you, there's no remission of sin. Happy, good thoughts and those types of things is not going to get it there. That blood has to be over the doorposts, over the heart, praise God, to be saved. So we know these things are going on, again, for the gain of the world. In this same section here, some people have said, well, they couldn't have been saved, really. They didn't confess, and they kind of turned away and all that. Well, I'll ask you this. What about Peter? Was he saved when he denied Christ three times? Let me tell you something. It says they believed. And believing isn't tasting. Believing is feeding. They believed. And that's all that's been preached to us through John, is believe. Praise be to God for his great grace. Yes, these were ones that built a whole bunch of wood, hay, and stubble in the way that they went. And it will all burn, but as the word of God says, they won't. Because he is faithful and true. Praise God. Well, let's go and wrap this up. 44 through 46. Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Isn't that amazing? Just three verses earlier, people tried, well, see, they really didn't believe, even though the Bible said they believed. You see how man tries to turn these things around like that? Well, they didn't confess. But wait a second, the threshold is believe. Remember that. Amen. Get rid of those self-righteous tendencies. It is the seed that remaineth. And I'll tell you what, that seed is a mustard seed. Microscopic. And I thank God for his faithfulness. But see, this 44 through 46, this is expressing the oneness of the Godhead. This wraps up everything that Jesus has been saying, that God has been revealing. My son is I am. I am that I am. Think about these precious things that were said in John that we read. And I'll just point out a few. Going back to the fifth chapter, how Jesus has said these in different ways that are so beautiful that he and the Father are one. In chapter 5, verse 24, he says it like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Go on over to 8:19. He says it like this. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me or know my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Amen. Praise God. Love it. 10:38. Going over there. How's he say it here? But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Oh, that's a good one. They're one. They're one. And that's why it's so sad when you talk to people. They do not want to believe in the deity of Christ. They don't. Again, going back to so many religions, big religions, even have the name Jesus in their name. Well, yeah, he's a son, but just a son like you and me, a son. Twisting it up like that. No, he's God in the flesh. He's very God of very God. And it's the deity. And if you miss that, you've missed it all. He is Lord. He's Lord. He's the first fruit. he's the one that brings the many sons to glory. It's his life, praise God, that lives in any and every son. Hallelujah. In chapter 8, verse 12, he goes on to talk about his light and that he is the light. And he says it like this: Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. So again, telling it like it is, being so very clear in the message, but yet when you have a hardened heart and no faith, you will not believe. Let's go back to John 12, going on to 47 and 48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words. See, that's how you reject him. You reject the word of God. So you can't have him, the word, without the word. They're one and the same. You cannot have him. You can have him without believing and receiving the word, which he is. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This is really beautiful how this is. But our sweet Jesus, praise God, he came to save the lost. Jesus Christ, full of what? Grace and truth. See, man wants to try to twist this again and say, oh, he's just a judge and, you know, he's just brutal and look at how God did this and did that and everything. No, he's the Lamb of God. And as we already talked about in 1 Timothy 2:4, he came, praise the Lord, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So we know that it's out there for everywhere. Now we know that he came to save, not to judge. But verse 48 reveals a little bit more. It's all the word of God. And the word came to save. But the word, praise God, which all power, dominion, everything is under that word, will someday soon, that word will judge in all righteousness at the last day. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. See, when that word takes the throne as God, that word, praise God, will judge. Amen. Now that gets me going too. It's all there in the Word of God. All right, go on over to Acts 17:31. And in Acts 17:31, says it like this: Because he hath appointed a day, see, there's a day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So see, that day and that judgment that will come, that appointed time that will come, that ordination, it was all assured unto men, how? When he raised him from the dead. Praise God. See, it was all finished. And praise the Lord. And when he rose again, oh my goodness, praise God, all the power of that resurrection, all the glory in that. Now we come to the point that that was the proof of it all, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is God, that he is Lord. And in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, you're going to have a great white throne that awaits everyone who did not receive his word. And those will be judged, and every one of them will be condemned to the lake of fire. And the reason is because it says that they are judged according to their works. Think of how many people you have spoken to throughout your life that have said at one time or another, I've either been a pretty good guy or I've been a pretty good girl. Or I think I've done enough. Why do you think they have these foundations? Why do you think these people give and give in a lot of ways? I'm telling you, it's because they believe somehow, some way, that by that giving, they're made righteous. They're made right. And what an abomination that is. That's just the same abomination as those 30 dirty pieces of silver that sold our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you know it. I want you to wake up. If anybody's hearing that, wake up. And finally, because here it is, and it wraps it all up in 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, Jesus says, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. His commandment is eternal life. Isn't that interesting? Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now this is wonderful, brothers and sisters. The commandment. Life everlasting. Believe in me. That's the commandment. Believe in me. Amen. Oh yes, praise God. That is God's love commandment. Believe in my Son. For God so loved, he gave. For what? For us to believe in whom he freely gave. I appreciated how a brother brought out one time, this is not an invitation. God's gift is not an invitation. God's gift, his Son, is a commandment. Ye must be born again. That's a commandment. That's it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Ye must be born again. We'll close with 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe it's pretty clear if you didn't think that salvation in the name of Jesus wasn't a commandment. That is a commandment. That is the commandment. Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. See, that's love. See, he gave us commandment. He gave us Jesus because God so loved. He's just commanding you to love. Believe in him. That is love. And in him, you will love one another. In him, we will love one another. In that commandment of Jesus' name, we will love one another. You can't help it because it's in him. Praise the Lord. Hope that is an encouragement to you. What a pleasure. What a joy. What a privilege to hear, to speak, to rejoice, and to respond by the grace of God to his wonderful word. Let's stand and be dismissed.